In this episode of the Neil Wilkins podcast, I'm joined by founder and LinkedIn strategy consultant at Apex Conversion, Nate Morse. Welcome to the show, Nate.
Thanks for having me, Neil. Neil and Nate, that sounds kind of cool.
It sounds like a boy band, doesn't
Rolls
it?
Well.
It sounds like we're going to sort of, clearly the conversation is bound to flow with two names like this.
I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. So we're here to talk and do a deep dive into LinkedIn in its various guises for various reasons. It is certainly the number one, I mean, clearly in the Western world, the number one social media channel for business-to-business connection. I mean, it just is. I think everybody knows it. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's got a CV online in LinkedIn. And then they turn away and they carry on with business as usual. Why is it that people in general in business are not yet leveraging and optimizing all the opportunities that LinkedIn throw at you? What do you think about that, Nate?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when LinkedIn was originally like created and being used, people were using it for recruiting, right? So they needed a lot of information for people so that the recruiters could find them. And then people are on there, but people weren't really posting that much because LinkedIn was viewed as just a recruitment tool. And so, when people are like engaging on the platform, they might think that their boss thinks that they're looking for a new job, right? So the general just use of it wasn't really things that people were doing that much. It was mostly recruiters. And so I think that now though, you see like LinkedIn has like celebrities like making content and different things that you see that a lot of people are actually viewing it more as a social media platform. You and I, you know, we're, I guess people that are running businesses went to B2B probably at one point. Yeah, we're on there earlier and we're like, okay, you know, where are the people? And then that question actually took them to LinkedIn. It wasn't like, which social media platform do I want to use? You know, so that took them over there. And so then people started using it more and more for business and running ads and in mails. And then they're like, okay, now we have people actually posting as well. And then so over the past, you know, couple of years for sure, you can see that it's just grown like immensely in how much like content people are creating, how much time they're spending on the platform. But yeah, the shorter answer to your question after I gave the longer one is that I think that it was originally mostly just for recruiting. And so people were just there to, in their head, right, they believed it was just as a resume.
It's interesting that when I ask people about this, because I'm always fascinated by, you know, the ebb and flow of particularly social media sort of over recent years as to kind of where is the attention. Gary Vee talks all the time about, you know, attention. You have to kind of find Absolutely. Where the attention is and then that's where you go. It feels at the moment, and this is just anecdotal evidence, I don't have numbers to back this up, but it feels as though more and more people within business, we haven't got down to kind of the actual disciplines or the roles they have yet. We'll talk about that, I think, in a minute. But just generally people in business now, more people now are bookmarking or favoriting or having as their homepage on their browser, their home feed of LinkedIn. So before it might have been Instagram or it could have been, you know, Google search or whatever, but it feels now from the people I talk to, more and more are saying, yeah, LinkedIn, as soon as I fire my browser up, it's LinkedIn. That's what I've got. I need to be seeing who's talking about what. I need to be connecting. Are you seeing a kind of transition with the people you're working with in that kind of direction too?
Yeah, absolutely. And so for you, then I have a question. So, you know, along the business journey, what do you think is like internally a big thing that you had to do along the journey? Like, what's something that you're consistently having to, not a specific thing, but like in principle? I may not be super clear with the definition. So if that didn't make sense, just let me know and I'll just tell you what I'm thinking. But
yeah, so yeah. I think what you've asked me is kind of from an internal perspective, why would I be doing it? Because I do. I mean, I am one of those people as well. So what the reason I'm doing it is because I want to keep, to use the phrase, keep my finger on the pulse. I need to know what the latest thinking is in kind of AI marketing, for example. I need to know from my connections, who are the movers and shakers, who's just published the latest white paper on a particular topic. et cetera. So, yeah. So for me, because I'm very introverted, I love living in my studio office here. I hardly ever go out. You know,
you love
it's my access point to, but I love the internet.
The internet was made for introverts. I feel
it
like
was. It was absolutely was. So I don't have to go out, but I'm networking. Yeah. So to me, but joking aside, that is what it is for me. It's that first thing in the morning, I get the coffee, I fire it up. It's there. It tells me what's going on within my business circles.
Yeah.
Was that the answer to the question?
I mean,
that
you asked? It's in principle, the same, but I've been toying, with this idea of like, you know, people kind of have to raise their caliber as life goes, especially when they pursue bigger things, right? So almost like standards, right? So we're essentially having to raise them consistently. And when you're choosing your social media platform, right? Like Facebook might not be the standard of what you want to consume, you know, anymore, you know? And so as people are evolving or whatever, going through, especially, you know, business-like roles, they're going to have to, you know, be more mindful of that. So I think that, yeah, but it's also as Facebook and these other platforms become like the opposite of what LinkedIn is, they're almost pushing them away at the same time. So it's almost like, I almost view LinkedIn as like, it's like India in terms of the overall economy. Like it's like kind of in that like third player, but it has like really, really, really good potential, you know? So
do you think it is all about then the organic content? I mean, you've talked about more people posting. I mean, it does feel a lot busier. It feels a lot more energetic, if you could use that word, within a social network. I don't know, but it just feels that way. Do you feel that organic is going to be the way to go with it? Because obviously there's a lot of paid for opportunity in there, and you can subscribe and you can advertise and you can, you know, sponsor your posts and everything that you'd expect to do elsewhere in other social networks. But it feels that it's still a real heartland of organic, true, authentic kind of content. It feels like it hasn't been spoiled by, you know, having to part with money.
Yeah. What do you mean having to part with money?
Well, in terms of having to allocate budget to it, I still feel like I can get the same amount of value organically that I can if I spend money. It almost feels like I don't yet need to spend money in that.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I mean, I would recommend, I think that anybody should get, I think everybody should get like Sales Navigator or something like that. Because in one regard, even with content, if you're paying the platform, like you're going to be in their favor is my theory on it. Right. So in some degree, I'd say you'd want to be in the bucket of an actively paying one in some shape or form personally. But so totally to go back and kind of start the answer for this and talk about, you were saying Gary Vee earlier, and there was actually something that I saw recently, and Gary Vee was saying that LinkedIn is essentially the TikTok of B2B right now, because they're pushing content. They want people to use content, and then it is, like you're getting more reach than you are on other platforms because the algorithm is actually like more set up for you to win. Right. So at least for now. And so it's in like those early good stages. And so that's a really good sign, but something that the organic, cause organic gains, the difference between organic and paid in one regard is the organic consistently gains leverage over time. Right. We're like the first people with the internet, you know, and there's going to be, depending on if we blow ourselves up, there's going to be like a lot more after us, you know? So like that content, we're like the original thinkers for those topics. Right. And so that's going to, the leverage of that over time, you might not see the impact of that. Like you might not live as long, but like, you know, hundreds of years later, they're going to be looking at it. And so organic, yeah, gives you leverage over time, but ads, you can basically just like hit a bigger volume right now, right? But it diminishes over time because you consistently have to make new creative, you have to do things. So I've talked to a lot of people and they said that they end up spending the same amount of time, because organic gets a lot of flack for how much effort it takes, right? Especially at the beginning. But they're spending the same amount of time building the new ads as they are to keep up as they are making organic content. But now is actually giving less return. So there's like this moment that happens. And so I don't think it's necessarily choose one or the other. I think that they're both tools. I think that once you have enough cash flow, I think you should start looking at potentially paid options, you know, if you need it, or paid ways to get more out of what you're doing, you know, that maybe organic, you may need some, like get some help with organic or something like that. You know, I wouldn't say like, don't try to spend money. But yeah, I think in terms of organic, the content is definitely a big thing. And LinkedIn, So let's say, for example, you know, with Facebook, like your posts aren't really going to show up in Google like that, right? But LinkedIn loves to make it so that your content shows up in Google. So there's a whole other angle of how you're getting eyes on this, right? But let's say, for example, if you don't have an audience or you have a very low audience, you know, your content is really going to mostly just the people that are connected with you. You know, so there needs to be some aspect of outreach in addition, I believe. Because also, if we think about it as like a classroom and your clients are all, potential clients are all in the classroom, the people who are in the back of the class may not raise their hand and walk up to the front, you know? And so there are people that you might want to proactively actually engage with. So I don't shy away from doing outreach at all. I think that if you're walking around and sending out brochures, similar to walking up to someone and first thing you say is like, here's all the reasons we should get married. Like, I don't think that's the right approach, but I don't think outreach is bad. I think that if you actually do your research and you come, you can be a benefit to that person. So I do think that that's in there, but I think it's a hybrid. I think it's a hybrid between them, posting content, engaging with people who engage with your content, finding new people to build your audience. I think there's a deeper strategy than just I wouldn't just focus on content. I've seen a lot of people do that, and it'd be, you know, not as what as much of what they wanted as if they were building an audience in addition to it. I don't know how you feel on that, but yeah, that's in my experience, kind of the balance that I came to.
Yeah, I think it's really relevant. And, you know, I thank you for your honesty, Nate, because I think it's important that people really understand this. And I know a lot of the people that I talk to are still kind of trying to figure out how best to get value from LinkedIn. They know they need to be posting, but they don't really know what to post. They know they've got some connections, but how do you actually engage with them? This thing that, and you've mentioned it in different ways, I think, three times already, this idea of the outreach, as you describe it, is that through Sales Navigator? Do you have to have something like Sales Navigator to be able to do the kind of outreach that you're talking about?
So if you have Sales Navigator, first of all, you get to send more connection requests. So I think that should be said, because that does make a difference. But in terms of that, do you have to? It's going to be a lot easier to find like who's active right now and be able to detail into your target market. But there are other tools out there too that also have like a database that you can go through. So it really just depends on what do you need to do to find the people that are your ideal, you know, clients. And not ideal as in just like revenue, but like, because people will focus on that, but also ideal in terms of like values, you know, because they're going to basically decide what your business becomes. And sure, like the money could give you oxygen, right? But in terms of what the business is going to become, if they're not aligned with your values, and so like it could get, you know, you might not get that next step that's going to align with you perfectly. You might just be, you know, chasing money, and that's not what entrepreneurs are here for. So.
So there's a neat little thing I think that you're sort of describing here, which is that there could be a lot of different reasons why somebody would want to engage on LinkedIn. So on the one hand, yeah, there could be the sales. So it could be that short-term revenue fix. Yeah, we managed to get a new customer, new client, whatever you want to call them. But it also sounds like you might want to be connecting with other people for maybe slightly different reasons. So if there was a topic that you want your brand to be identified with, so there's a might be a thought leadership kind of angle where you want to be part of a network of similar thinkers, maybe. Could there be sort of other brands in other sectors where you want to almost identify why they're successful and then emulate them because they're non-competitive? Feels like there could be lots of different types of conversation to be had there.
Yeah. So many. And I mean, one of them, so over time, I believe that as everyone becomes like content creators, you know, people listening to this are now going to be creating content. So more people are creating content. Audience acquisition is going to be harder and harder to get because people don't want to subscribe to a million billion things, right? So more things that are available, less things that they're going to subscribe to. Obviously, as long as it's good, they're probably going to, you know, actually want it. So I think that as that time goes on, another conversation that should be there is, I mean, an internal conversation they need in order to have that conversation is, you know, where do I fit in with other brands that are around me in like the ecosystem? Because creating that partnership and kind of fitting in there and starting partnerships will allow you to access their audience as well, right? Just like right now, right? You have an audience, right? And I get to talk, and then they all get to know me and get exposure, right? And so that's like a whole another way is they might be, you know, looking for things like this through LinkedIn as well, you know? So there's going to be other content creators on there, and how do they like collaborate with them, give value to them, start a relationship there where they can, kind of like share the audience because they're both pooling resources in together and helping. That's another way. Yeah.
Yeah. That feels really interesting because I think then there's something strategic as well as tactical. I mean, I get a lot of approaches, I'm sure you do as well, from complete strangers, although they would say, well, I'm not a stranger because we're all in LinkedIn. But it's almost that, you know, a connection request then automatically entitles them to be able to, and I'll say it here, spam me with, you know, a message, well, I'm not ready to buy
from you. I like to call it pitch slapping.
Okay. Explain more then. So this clearly does still work though, even though I'm pushing back on every single one and I will not respond to them because it's like, hey, I didn't invite that. Is there still an upside? Is it still workable? This kind of unsolicited in-mail, as LinkedIn would call it.
Yeah, no, totally. 100%. And it's the message, right? You're saying like, hey, how they use it, does it mean that the medium still works, right? The medium definitely still works, but how you use it, like I was saying earlier, if you're going up to someone and the first thing you say, and you've never met them before, is like, hey, here's all the reasons that we should get married, right? Now, even if we're a perfect fit for each other, right? Probably not going to like actually work because that relationship wasn't there at all. So they're jumping to this like handing out of brochures, which I think the age of the internet is mostly in people showing that they exist. So like almost like a conscious evolution, even though that just made me look like they're crazy, but a conscious evolution. They're kind of going to there. They haven't gotten to that like relationship stage yet, right? In the buyer's journey and recognizing like, okay, people aren't just making logical, you know, things of everybody, they're acting as if everybody is looking to buy what they offer, right? But they're not even in that state of mind, you know? So that's only going to work on the people who are in that state of mind currently in the buyer's journey like that, right? And so, yes, that is one thing that does work. That's actually one thing that that we like have done before. It's like, we'll find people in the market because they're like, that's going to be the best ones to help through the journey because like other people aren't, they're just posting information. But still, I don't think the approach should be like that, you know, unless you're like a really big name, you know, if you were like Gary Vee and then you're just reaching, like sending out offers, there's already that rapport there, you know, so that's going to work better. But if it's not, no, I think it should be more of, I think people should look at this as like actual relationships and not just this Amazon mentality. So, you know, that first whole initial thing, like if you're approaching someone, their biggest thing is actually to see if you're going to be like insanely aggressive, if they know that like your intention is that, right? And so since everybody's intention on LinkedIn, they believe already that you're there for some business reason because it's a business platform, right? Then how do we not do that? How do we like show that we can be a guide to help them, but that we're also like someone that they would want to hang out with because we're, you know, actually going slow, you know? So I think it's more of how do you kind of have like a push pull? So it's like, you know, you're engaging with them, but then now they see your content and then maybe later you ask, you know, something along if they saw any of your content, if they engaged with it or something like that, and then moving down and opening up like the things that they do, maybe asking a question about what they post. So it's all about opening things up so that when you do eventually respond, you take what they say and you can make it so what you said is relevant and they know that you listened. So what you said is also to them recommending it to themselves, almost, if that makes sense, right? And so, but that's later. That's a little bit longer game than just trying to, you know, see how many clients you can get off the rip.
And that is a much longer game, isn't it? Because, you know, it's going to take time and a lot of effort, I guess, to be watching.
A lot faster than the other one, though.
Well, yes. I mean, and potentially much more successful as well, because, you know, you've got to have that kind of at least sort of a feeling of some kind of relationship before you're even going to be entering into a conversation. Yeah. So there has to be that value, mutual value on both sides. I mean, I guess the clue is in the name, LinkedIn. It's kind of almost like a partnership kind of service, isn't it, really? It's kind of looking to link with like-minded partners, and you might happen to do business with them now or maybe later. It's not really sales, is it?
No, I mean, I still definitely use it for sales. Like, I'll definitely tell people that if I'm doing research, I'll be like, hey, like, I have an idea of something that I think will work for you. Are you free for 15 minutes today or tomorrow? And that's like an open invite to give value, right? But they also know I'm making it pretty obvious, right? They're like, I want to show them something. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people that are, still like open to new ideas, you know, they're just not going to, buy something directly from that message unless it's like, you know, it's got to be super good. It'd have to be so good. It'd basically be impossible. I do think though, if they swapped it out for maybe like a lead magnet, like maybe something free, that could work much, much better for the people that are trying to just pitch you. Cause where's that initial thing where the relationship can start off with like no risk, you know, or like minimal risk, you know, sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's like, you know, I have a newsletter. So like there's a, you know, where's that relationship just get started first before going, and then we can nurture the relationship.
And normally we'd leave something like that kind of lead magnet, I guess, or mentioning of it in a podcast like this right to the end. But now you've mentioned it, you've got a newsletter, haven't you, Nate?
I do. Yep. It's the LinkedIn Leadership Newsletter. So you can, the email one has extra things in it. I do have it on LinkedIn, but the email one is extra. So you can go to keys.natemorse, NateMorse.com/newsletter. And you can subscribe to that. But yeah, that's all about, different like stories and things that have worked with LinkedIn. And I will write like an article in there like once a week or sometimes once a day, depending on how inspired I am. But yeah, so that's basically getting all my LinkedIn knowledge for free. So.
Brilliant. And who could ask for more than that? That's great. So just thinking about sort of the profiling then within LinkedIn. So the profile that you have, there's obviously personal profile, and then there's business page profile. What are the kind of recent changes? Because, you know, we've had these since the dawn of LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is quite old now in terms of a platform, although obviously we're still saying, you know, there's a lot of kind of, you know, freshness and lots of potential still within it. What kind of changes have you seen that are really important from a sales engagement or a marketing perspective in the kind of, the last 12 months? Have there been any sort of new things or new features or important stuff? I mean, if we start with the personal profile to begin with, what kind of things should people be looking out for if they're looking to use this as a sales channel?
Definitely. And I actually don't use the business profiles, like the business pages, that much, just because those are more of like a paid realm. So you can update them with some information and whatever. And I'm sure, you know, having it more established looks better. But in terms of just utility all around, your personal page is going to get way more reach and can reach out to way more people. On the personal profile, for things that I've seen, might be a little bit longer than the last 12 months. But the creator mode, have you looked into that? That really changed things up. So, and then there's a new button. So there's a button that you can add, right? So now people, for me, it says like, visit my website. Like when they look at a post under, your name in the bio. And that's one thing that people too, I think that's a huge underrated area, is that bio. Then there's a like, visit my website, but you can have it be like book a call or whatever you want to have that link. So when you show up, you know, in content and things, there's actually another call to action right there, you know, which is great, because, you know, before that I was saying, you know, the bio, people don't realize that's an opportunity to like hook someone in and also give them some kind of CTA, you know. Obviously you don't want it to be like buy now, but some kind of like lead magnet or newsletter or article or case study or whatever, you know? And so that's something that they should do, because, you know, you have one side of LinkedIn using it as a resume, but the other side should be using it more as like a, almost like a sales page where it's relevant to them and it has different things that they can engage with and help them along the journey, versus just being, you know, here's the reasons you should hire me kind of mentality.
Yeah, that's really good. And that creator mode, yeah, it's kind of opened up, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, within the thumbnail image now, which is video, or potentially video, if you want to record a welcome to my page little short form video. I mean, there's a whole host of things in there, isn't there? I mean,
if you're live, you're almost like banner, like the banner photo area. your live shows up right there if someone's on your profile, like if you're live.
Wow. Have you used that? Have you found that's worked for you?
Yeah, I found it accidentally because I wanted to go see if anyone, you know, was commenting or whatever. And so I went into it on my phone. And I was like, oh, I'm like, there's a huge video at the top before my profile picture that's like part of it. So I thought that was, I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, so a lot being able to do lives in general and do that is good. Then what I think is really like underrated though is the newsletters, honestly, with the articles, because that you can, everyone that subscribes gets a notification, but they also get an email of the article. Okay. So I will like double the amount of impressions that my LinkedIn account gets just from that. Right. And then Google also indexes it. You know, you see the Pulse articles all the time and different LinkedIn articles. So yeah. And I mean, that's the long form content, right? I think as time goes on and you see everybody, even with the AI and stuff, right, they're trying to make a billion pieces of content, you know, in 5 minutes and put it on there. And I think that, you know, the place to be is going to be, you know, actually making good long form content about like specific ideas, you know, like something that really hooks them in and then is a good, actual deeper thought. Cause I think that's going to be what there's less of, is like the actual good thoughts, you know? Because everybody's focusing on the tiny pieces of content right now.
I was going to ask your view on the sort of long form versus short form, because we've all, I think personally, I mean, I would certainly agree with you if I think you're thinking along this way, is we've almost all become blinded by short form. It's like everything has to be like 5 to 10 seconds and you move on to the next thing. But long form can be so much more valuable in terms of the value that it brings, because there's a much deeper understanding of things, isn't there?
It's
much more practical.
Yeah. It's difficult to really try to give someone, because for you to be a thought leader in their head, right? Like you essentially have to make like a transformation in their beliefs, right? And that's not going to be that easy in a post, you know? And you can make a bigger post, but you obviously have more opportunity in something a little bit more richer and can go like longer and actual in depth.
So the newsletter thing clearly is a big kind of part of your sort of business strategy. Would you see this playing out for all different types of organization, you know, large, medium and small, every single sector? Do you think there's something in that as an approach for pretty much all of us?
Yeah, I think so. Let's say, you know, when we think of like, you know, if everybody right now thinks of, okay, what are like three things that I think an expert has to be for me to think that they're an expert? One of those might be that they've like written like a book or something, you know? And so, you know, people that have books are automatically viewed as experts, right? And so, you know, on that scale, right, if you're like a thought leader and you're a market authority, you should be delivering the best value, right? And if you're just delivering shorts, I mean, if you're like a content creator helping people make shorts, then like that's probably the thing that you should make, right? But and even then, like if you have an article that's more, you know, behind the scenes or whatever, you know, that would probably deepen, you know, your relationship to them. So yeah, I mean, I think it would work in anything. They could, you know, comment on what's going on in the industry. You know, they could write personal stories about like things that happen, and then that'll build like that likability, you know, between them and their audience. So things like that. I mean, yeah. Do you have one that you like don't think will work? I mean, don't, as long as it's safe for work, we're probably good.
I don't know really. I mean, I think, you know, it's one of these things that I kind of feel almost my view on it kind of changes each time I think of it. Sometimes like,
if their audience isn't there, right, then that would be a variable.
Yeah, and I think that would be a sort of a natural one, although you could argue, and I keep hearing in my head your comment about, you know, the longevity of some of the content. You know, if you're early in, you're giving great value with long form content, it's going to be there for hundreds of years. And I keep hearing you know, whilst you're talking, and I'm thinking about the value to that is so much bigger than just a short form video clip. There you go. Just consume that. Okay, it's done. I've moved on. It just feels so much more sound. It feels like a foundation of a brand that's going to give your business longevity. It just feels the right thing to do. So yeah, whether like it's a newsletter or Pulse article or whatever, it just feels right to me.
Yeah, I think those are the same. Because I think the articles got transferred into the newsletter, but you still publish them as articles. But only the people that are subscribed to your newsletter get it. But yeah, I think that... because strategically, right, if people are posting on LinkedIn, right, the post, the algorithm sends the post only to, you know, X amount of people, right, that are viewing it right then. But the article goes out to everyone that subscribed, right? So I think a big part of the goal in that is how do we get the people that are engaging over to something that they can actually be nurtured with? Because if it's not going to go to everyone, it's not like a reliable tool for nurturing as much as, you know, that could be in comparison.
Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've been sort of talking recently to somebody who was saying, you know, it's more than just attention. Again, you know, so Gary Vee says it's all about the hook, all about the attention, because once you've got the attention, then you can do things with it. But this person was very much more sort of about the journey beyond that. And I think what you're talking about here is something that's actually really important for people to think about, is that, you know, when they're doing marketing, particularly somewhere like LinkedIn, yeah, you can get the attention, but unless you actually get the commitment of that person, the attention's not worth it. Really doesn't matter. It's a little bit like, you know, getting the reach score really high so you can see how many people actually viewed the content, but nobody liked it, nobody engaged, nobody commented, nobody clicked the link. It's pointless, isn't it? So you've got to be really clear, haven't you, in terms of the way that you then guide people through to that next step of the journey, either the sign up or the subscription or the follow me. Is it the subscription then that is the one, that's the ultimate? Or is just following okay? Kind of, you don't necessarily have to connect with the person, but if you're following them, it does still give you that kind of maybe next time the option to kind of commit a little bit further and sign up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, totally. All of those, like you might even reach out and ask why they followed you, you know, and spark conversations. That could lead into sales like right there, you know, because they're like in a conversation, even if they're not talking to you, they're still doing things.
So it's really being very, very mindful about everybody's in a different position in their journey. Everybody is in a different moment in their own business or their own life. And it's about almost being patient with that and being very appreciative that this is actually a real human being who's doing something. They're committing, maybe it's a millisecond of their attention to you, but at least you've got that 1 millisecond. What are you going to do with it? And it feels that we've got to be very, kind of mindful, but very kind of sympathetic to the difference that they might have over everybody else who's viewed that content that day. And if you can just make the time, then that might be one of the most valuable relationships you're ever going to have professionally. It could just be, couldn't it, that that is the next person. They didn't sign up straight away, but they were there long enough just to hook in to something. There's a lot of time commitment required here, isn't there? And you've got to live it and breathe it, haven't you? Because you can't just switch on, do a quick scan, couple of comments, and then move off. Do you have to have this stuff signed in, or do you have to be signed into this all day, every day to make this work?
Man, there was a lot there. There was a lot there. All right. What were you saying before that one though? I wanted to say something on that.
It was very much part of the journey. We'll come back to the timing of it and how much time you have to spend. Yeah. It was very much the journey though. It was the piece about if they will be willing to give you at least a millisecond of their time.
Oh, yeah.
You have to kind of be sympathetic to that and almost meet them where they are, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that there's a good reason for that. So I think that the people who are, the more emotional of a buyer, a lot of times, like the quicker they're going to be engaging with things like that, you know? And a lot of times, like, I don't know what clients you're trying to go for, but a lot of times we're working with, you know, like mid-sized businesses. And so they're a lot of times more of like a logical person, right? So they might follow you because logically, like it makes sense to them, but they might not be like, you know, engaging in everything right away. And I've noticed that the bigger clients that I have had, that's one thing they've done. It's like a lot of times I'll reach out to them or something. And then, we might not even talk at all. And then they're engaging with posts and they might be like, hey, this one, like I just got off a call earlier with a similar one. And they were like, yeah, something that you said in this post, like stuck out to me, you know? And so then he responded to my messages and then, and then it goes from there. And so I think that, those people are lurking a little bit more. And so, reaching out to those people, they're very busy, right? So if you do, if they know who you are, they like your content, and then you reach out with something that's relevant to them that they like, right? That works out really well. And so you have those, you add those like two together. And yeah, usually the better clients are actually taking a little bit longer. So it actually works like in your favor to do that, but they have a lot of people going for them, right? So it's like, you have to kind of be the leader in the domain, especially if they're an employee working for someone, then they're not the expert in the domain. They're actually looking for someone to help them. So if like, you know, if you're going and let's say that you're like taking some class for something, right? And you're like kind of nervous since your first class or whatever, like inside, you're just waiting for the instructor to walk over, you know, and help you, right? And so like they're in a very similar position to that if they're not like, you know, small business entrepreneurs. So it just depends on also like what kind of, you know, who do you want as the market. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that it takes longer. But I would say, yeah, reach out as well.
So again, I think this is kind of looping right back around to something you said earlier, which was, it was almost about giving people reasons to buy rather than selling to them. So even though it's called Sales Navigator, even you're talking about, you know, lead magnets, you're talking about selling within LinkedIn, actually what you're advocating, I think, is giving people reasons to connect back with you. So a lot of this is actually pulling through the value rather than pushing out the value, isn't it? Because they've got to get it on their terms. And if they're not ready to buy, they're not going to buy right now. But if they're ready in the future because you've given them that hook, then the time is right, then they come to you. So the patience game seems to win out each time.
Yeah, well, only, I think, you know, statistically, they say like only 3% of the market is ready to buy right now. Right. So at one point, you have to just accept the world for what it is, you know, and like you're not trying to buy from everybody. You're going through their feed. So like, why do you think they're going to be doing that, you know? And so, yeah, it just doesn't really work like that. But, yeah, I think this, I have a story, I guess, where this comes from. And so essentially when I was working, cause I was working at a car dealership when I was younger, when I was 21, I was working at a car dealership and used car sales. And then, I had epilepsy like coming out of nowhere, and that got pretty wild. So I left that job because that was like the scariest job in the world. Like driving people around in a car when you're a ticking time bomb, you never know like when shit's gonna pop off. That was like the scariest thing in the world. But then I got a job working as an entrepreneur, right? So like almost an entrepreneur. If you're are you familiar with an entrepreneur? Mm. I'm sure some people, but it seems like some people aren't. So I don't know. Anyway, so I did that and did that for about 7 years. And I noticed a huge difference because on the lot, when someone would come on, you know, the majority of the time I would take down all their information, you know, and I would have a relationship bill, you know, and then we would find the unit. But online on these classified sites, you couldn't become a lead until you picked out the unit that you wanted. So you're going through the whole buyer's journey on your own. And that's where I noticed the internet was more about, you know, even in marketing, first it's, hey, we exist. And then someone else exists. And then it's, hey, we're better than them. And here's why. And then they do that. And then you're like, okay, and here's a new mechanism we have. And that's just how the market sophisticates. And, you know, that's kind of the overall internet market, I guess, that we'll have to sophisticate through that. But yeah, just that in person to the internet made me notice, like, you know, most of these people are just in the buyer's journey. They have internal questions they have to answer before they can, you know, even decide who are they looking for. You know, they're not even at that stage yet. So really, how do we align the buyer's journey to the sales process is the actual question, right? And a lot of that initial part is like they're in the, you know, like problem awareness, discovery, you know, just on that area of learning more about the problem, you know? And so like, if that's where they are, and then, you know, when they're solution aware, right, they kind of have like gotten deep on things. So, you know, the majority of your market's probably, you know, needing that problem awareness or is in that problem awareness stage. They might not be in the shortlist and, or the solution minded and then, you know, shortlist and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're only going to be relevant to that last 3%, like that's not really that good of a model.
So is there a part then that LinkedIn can play beyond this? I mean, we've talked a lot here about that kind of that front end of the buyer's journey, but if somebody's committed and they've both signed up for the newsletter or they've, you know, actually bought the product and, you know, that you've known them maybe for a year or two, is there a part that LinkedIn, do you feel, can play in the retention stage, as we might call it. So, you know, increasing the advocacy that they share, you know, with their colleagues, how amazing Nate is, and et cetera. Or it's that, you know, they, I don't know, sign up for some VIP loyalty scheme that you're running, or whatever it is that you offer at that
scheme.
Kind of stage.
Are we calling it a scheme? Unless scheme is good. I don't know.
Sounds good. I mean, is there something at that stage in the journey? Because it feels like it's great for kind of raising the awareness and, you know, getting people into the sales funnel, and then you can do some magic with them. But later in the journey, as you've got the relationship already, do you feel that there's stuff in LinkedIn now that can really help retain those customers so they keep coming back, or they, you know, share the great stuff that you're doing?
That LinkedIn can do?
LinkedIn. No, LinkedIn specifically.
Like LinkedIn, how they are getting people to come back?
No, more how you would be using.
Okay, that's what.
So LinkedIn, for example.
Yeah. So I haven't really thought about it like this, but it would make sense in terms of a LinkedIn strategy. But overall, yeah, there's a retention and there's the referral part on the back end, right? And so for the referral part first, because I think that's just top of mind for me. Instead of like trying to ask for referrals like usually people do, I think that if you had like a resource on LinkedIn that someone could share, right, then your you know, clients or whatever could share that. You know, so if you have some kind of resource, because you want the resource to be shareable, that actually should do the heavy lifting in the referral process. Is you creating a resource that they actually want to share. And that just goes back to how SaaS companies grow. They look at what's called like the viral coefficient, which is essentially like how many people does each person bring in, right? And so that's their whole thing, is how do we make it so that they're sharing something that brings us more users? And for you, it could be, how do we create those front end resources that are getting shared to bring more people? And that would be kind of the referral play on that back end. But yeah, I mean, in terms of retention, you could, if you wanted to, you could have like a LinkedIn group, and maybe like lock that one down, where only they can go into it. Reaching out to them. Right, you can be giving them recommendations as well, like if they were a great client on things, because they have that option, right? Like Boom was a client, you know, like Neil was a client of Nate. There's an option on there, I think. Also, I mean, probably content. Them just seeing you more top of mind, and also I think the non-mechanical side of it is the like them still feeling like that they are in like an up-to-date relationship with you, right? So the things that you post, the articles that you do, if you're just posting like brochures, like, hey, like, here's how, you know, here is just all case studies, just like case studies may be fine actually. But if it's just, you know, all super salesy content, then they're probably not going to be engaging with that at one point, right? But if you can, you know, make it personal and add stories and things that they would continue to read after that, right? Then they should actually like your content regardless of if they're currently a client or not, you know? And so I think that would be a way to kind of maintain that relationship by using that, you know, one to many aspect you get from LinkedIn versus otherwise, what are you going to do? Try to email your weekend thoughts to them all, you know?
Yeah, it feels like there's a real kind of mixture of opportunities here, isn't there? There's kind of like it's a giant recipe and you've got to get all the ingredients here and then kind of figure out how to, you know, piece those sort of pieces of the pie together so that it kind of gives you a bit of a strategy. Because once you've obviously, you know, created the model, you've, you know, set up your, not necessarily your business page as you're advising here, but your personal page to kind of really optimize this stuff. And then you start posting. You've got to be very consistent, haven't you, to a plan here, because you could be spending a lot of time firing off in lots of different directions, trying loads of different things, and then not actually really learning. I mean, just going full circle back to the question that we didn't sort of recover, which was the how much time to spend on this, because it feels like there's a lot to do, a lot of time that needs to be invested in this. And we've all got businesses to run and clients to serve, but it still feels really important. I mean, what is a good balance of time, do you feel?
Yeah, no, that's great. So it depends. Part of it just depends on the person, right? So this isn't going to be like, you know, everyone's the same. But it, so we have the So the outreach side, right, that's kind of like doing a lot of the heavy lifting of it, you know, sparking conversations, engaging with people, bringing in new audience members. That stuff, once you lock it down, you can have that to about, you know, 20 minutes a day of like all that's needed on your end. Now, for the content side, I've noticed that that takes longer for people in the beginning. I know me in 2020, when I was getting more into the content side, because LinkedIn was starting to promote the content side more, for 6 years before that, I was just doing outreach. Because you couldn't really see any content or anything like that much. But I would go like to a nearby beach and I would bring a notebook and I would spend like 2 or 3 hours there just like, okay, what's the topic that I'm going to talk about today? You know, and then writing it, you know, would take another few hours, but it would just be one small Facebook post, but it was just, but that was me working through myself. You know, it's kind of like the, if you ever read the War of Art,
mm-hmm.
You read that book? Yeah. So it's just talking about the resistance, right? And so once you understand that part, it actually gets much shorter. But recognizing that is a big thing. And so in the beginning, that's what, you know, that's why I had to go through most of the time. And so I think it took, you know, it took like a whole day to make a post. So, you know, 5 posts for a full work week is like not that good of an output, but, you know, that's what it was in the beginning for me. But now, I mean, now the short form content pieces, like just the smaller posts, like I can make pretty good ones. I'm not using like AI or anything like that. I actually think that not using that is going to help you stand out, because again, it's that original idea, right? Obviously, if you can take the original idea, put it in there, and it makes it good, and then you work with it and tweak it a little bit, then it helps like an assistant, but not just straight putting it out. That doesn't work that well. The articles I spend, you know, I probably do that for like an hour or two every day, but that's mostly fun for me. I actually like doing that. Obviously, I have days where I don't want to do it and I don't have the ideas, but I do write down ideas all the time. I think that everyone should have like, you know, a note where they have a list of ideas or whatever, and they're working through, because that's where you just go back to that when you need to write. And that's going to like change the game if you're not currently doing that. But, you know, that'll take like an hour or two to make that. And then, yeah, you have about the 20 minutes of the outreach. And then the posts again, I just batch them 1 day a week. For like a couple hours, I can make the whole, I do about 2 posts a day, so I can make all of them. So yeah, you have, you basically have 1 day of batching and they have 20 minutes a day. And then if you want to do the articles, then like another hour or two a day. So, you know, maybe like 2 or 3 hours a day, about 3 hours a day. If we split that up, it's kind of a long answer, but I had to think through it.
Yeah, no, it's great to get the
reality.
Depends
on the strategy though.
Yeah, you know, like, because I mean, people are just sort of throwing numbers when I ask that question. Often people just throw numbers. Oh, you've got to do this, or yeah, the research says that. So it's really good to get your honest kind of, you know, thinking as you're actually saying it.
You need an actual strategy, right? Like people will come to me and be like, "Hey, I want this," and I'm like, "Okay, cool. What? How familiar are you with all of this and what's available and how we can string it all together?" And they'll just be, you know, it's basically like it's almost like they're trying to just either do or hire out just one tactic at a time, right? But really what's needed is like, we need a deeper strategy here, you know, that's going to change things versus just trying to like see what tactic is trending. Like that just seems so short-lived.
Mm. Yeah. And then it gives you something to measure against, doesn't it? Because if you see that something works or a particular topic theme, if you don't know if you're doing thought leadership and you don't really understand, you know, what am I a thought leader in, by experimenting with some of those topic ideas, you might identify something that does resonate with the audience and does feel good when you write it. So it might be quite an iterative process. You might not have the answer or the strategy, but it can evolve, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think there is the basic one of like the short form and having a, you know, the newsletter should, like, I would recommend that still to be in the strategy. But in terms of what you said in the beginning with just a second ago for like their journey, like, yeah, it's definitely like an expression kind of internal journey as well. So I think doing it like speeds up that process. I think that if people are just trying to use ChatGPT or whatever, you know, I don't think that's going to necessarily help them get to that like potency spot that they will do much better in once they're there. Cause I got to forge it. It's like an internal thing. You know, you can't hire out the internal ideas and things that you have. You should be doing that and then maybe hire it out to someone where you could train them versus training some team to come in and like look at your sales page and make content or whatever they do.
Mm. And a final question, because I mean, you've shared so much stuff and I'm sure people are taking notes and thinking, I've got to get on to do this now. A final question, though, just going back, you mentioned live. And I'm also thinking audio events, because they've suddenly started to really appear sort of on my feed. And I've done one or two. I tested and played with those, as in podcast, of course, I would have done. What's your view in terms of doing live and doing audio events and that? Because that feels like once you've kind of cracked the thought leadership, you've done your sales outreach, you've got a lead magnet, you've kind of done everything that Nate evangelizes. Is the next step to go live and do audio events? Is that a next natural kind of almost for the advanced LinkedIner, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it just depends on, where your strengths are, you know. And so, if it's lives, I'm fine with lives with podcasts and stuff. But if I'm just going live on my own, I don't think I can deliver as much value as the way that I create like articles. Personally, but I know other people that crush it on lives. I know other people that, you know, short form is their main thing and they're just a machine and they do really well with it. So I would say just go and break things, just go and mess around like from the beginning. I wouldn't even view it as an advanced one. I would just go for it. And that's kind of almost like a, you know, the tactical versus the strategic, because if you have the strategy there, then it totally makes sense if you have it running to start adding some, you know, adding and swapping out like tactics to see if it can make the strategy more potent, right? And so, once you have that initial strategy down, then start playing with it. But yeah, you're saying this basically these one to many live, you know, versus these audio sessions. And yeah, I think one to many should definitely be where you spend a lot of time, because there's a lot of leverage there, you know, and LinkedIn likes to promote these things. So I think it's definitely a good tactic. I think it's definitely a good tactic. Yeah.
And if we were to, final question for you, Nick, because I know you're busy and you need to get on, but final question, if we were having this conversation in 2 years' time, what do you think LinkedIn's going to be? What will LinkedIn of the future look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. Now, I know AI-wise, Microsoft they own like 49% of OpenAI. Because they're using it already on like content and like people who show up and different things in Sales Navigator and whatnot. So that's pretty cool. So I think that that's definitely going to evolve. And I think that we might see LinkedIn like integrated with other things. Like, for example, I'm big in like the VR space as of like a couple months ago. So I spend a lot of time actually co-working in VR rooms, which works great as an entrepreneur, with other people like virtually there, but I'm just me, right? I can pull the heads off. And so I think that we'll see like integrations and partnerships and collaborations between them and other companies to make that data kind of more, because that's like a big thing they have is like the data. You know, they have really detailed data on everyone. Like, if Facebook were to be like, hey, give us, you know, a ton of extra data about your life, they wouldn't have like a reason, you know, like LinkedIn really has. So I think it's gonna be mostly AI and integrating with things. But also, yeah, I think that we're definitely gonna see a lot more on it turning into more of a, you know, more of a social media platform. Like, still a lot of people think it's just for recruiting, but I think it's gonna be more and more something that people spend more time on and are actually going through like a lot more content. Cause like you're saying, you know, you're going through every morning. I don't know a ton of people that are like that, but I'm seeing people evolve to that faster.
It'll be so interesting to see how this plays out. But Nate, this has just been such a valuable conversation. You've got me thinking about a few things that I'm going to be doing here slightly differently, I think, in terms of the way I'm sort of going to position it and experiment.
I have one last thing to kind of get your noggin going, because earlier you were saying that part about how forever, right? Like, this content will be forever. And now you're like, oh man, I'm going to be more intentional with my content, right? Is probably what you were thinking or whatever. Not like you seem unintentional, but you're going to make that. But if you like zoom out at the whole whole human experience, right? The internet happened when we, you know, were, alive. And so, you know, before that, life was super slow, right? After this, it's already just the rate of progression is just going to keep compounding, right? And so you look at technology, everything points that it's just going to, you know, just explode, you know, which it already, you know, has. And so think about this. If life was the human experience is a movie, like not an individual, but the human timeline, the, you know, as a species, if we were to like watch it as a movie, there would be this, it'd be like, you know, Yellowstone, and then it's going to turn into, you know, like Blade Runner or something. And so it's going to just go all futuristic. And this little period right here, right, we essentially have the most opportunity of any humans that will ever exist. Like the world would have to completely crumble and then reconnect with this amount of Wild West opportunity, you know, because it's just going to be more competitive and there's going to be more competition as time goes on, which we won't be alive then, most likely, unless we're like VRs hooked up to our brains. I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, so everybody has like the best opportunity of anyone that's ever existed right now. And if you're in B2B, definitely LinkedIn is its own version of that right now.
Mm. And so anybody listening to this, if you've enjoyed what you've heard, you need to head over to natemorse.com because you can then subscribe to the newsletter. You can keep up to date with all the latest articles. And you can just keep your finger on the pulse of this ever-changing LinkedIn landscape. Nate, this has just been so good. It's just really great conversation. And we said right at the start, we'd have it as a conversation, not a Q&A. And I think we've gone to places I wasn't even expecting we'd go to. So thank you so much for your wisdom and your kind of guidance on this for all of us. It's been really, really great conversation.
Yeah, thanks. No, you did a great job with this and your podcast is awesome. So glad to be on it.
That's been great. Thanks. Mm-hmm.